Proverbs 31, we'll continue looking at the virtuous woman who's described in this chapter for us. I mentioned last week, it is true that the woman described here is both a wife and a mother. But I do believe that the unmarried woman and the woman who doesn't have any children can look at this chapter and still see the kind of woman that God wants her to be, the heart, the spirit of the woman that God wants her to be. Let's begin this morning by looking at verses 29 through 31. This sums up the whole chapter. And let's start here. This is the key to not only being a good wife and a good mother, but this is the key to being a good woman. It's very simple. Verse 29, many daughters have done well, but you excel them all. Charm is deceitful and beauty is passing, but a woman who fears the Lord, she shall be praised. Give her the fruit of her hands, let her own works praise her in the gates. Of course, the key there is the second part of verse 30. A woman who fears the Lord, she shall be praised. So everything else we talk about this morning is going to be based in that fact. Here is a woman who loves and honors the Lord first and foremost. Let's go through and look at some other qualities that describe this woman in Proverbs 31. Verses 11, 12, and 23. She honors her husband. Verse 11. The heart of her husband safely trusts her, so he will have no lack of gain. She keeps her husband's confidence. In what ways does she provide and show that trustworthiness? Does she provide for physical needs? Yeah. Does it stop there?
No.
What about emotional needs? Does she take care of that?
Yes.
What about some spiritual needs? Does she take care of that? Absolutely. Absolutely. You know, we go back to Genesis and we see that a woman was made as a helper comparable to her husband. And we think about the physical aspects and all of that. Spiritually, what does a wife provide for her husband if she's doing what she should?
Everything you need.
Yeah. Who should be your best Bible study partner? It should be your spouse. I hope it is for those of us who are married. Your best Bible study partner should be your spouse. Have you ever sat down to study something with your spouse and you're going through and you're thinking about it and then they just make a comment that clarifies everything? I hope the answer is yes. It is wonderful to have a spouse's insight because as a man, quite frankly, I look at things in a certain way. And Sasha can bring up stuff that I never would have considered. It happens in our Bible classes as well. People bring up different perspectives. You get to live with this Bible student. You get to share every day with them. Take advantage of the spiritual blessings. Now, not only just in study, but what about in the application of those things? You ever had a spouse be a good example for you spiritually? I hope there are a lot of heads nodding out here. That's the way it's supposed to be. Now, so we think a helper comparable, and we think about in the home and the physical things, but spiritually speaking, that is very, very true as well. Now, any other thoughts on verse 11 there? Do you see why this woman is described as having a price far above rubies? She's an absolute treasure. Look at verse 12. We'll put this with it. She does him good and not evil all the days of her life. She seeks her husband's good. We've sort of mentioned that already. And let's just talk about it from the opposite side. Unfortunately, some women are extremely talented at bringing their husbands down, at crushing their spirits. And they know how to push his buttons. They know how to get under his skin, and they do it. That is not what the good wife does. What does she do for him, for his confidence and his boldness? And I don't mean in an arrogant way. I just mean that confident way. What does she do?
She's uplifting.
She builds him up. Yeah, absolutely. And now we know this goes the other way too. We can go to Ephesians 5. He should be doing the same sort of thing for her as well. But we're talking about Proverbs 31 this morning, which is focusing on the woman's responsibilities and her character. Mark your places and turn to Titus 2. This godly woman, this virtuous woman, is everything that Paul describes to Titus in Titus 2. We'll start in verse 3. This is specifically directed toward the older women. But these are qualities that the younger women are to be developing as well. Verse 3, Titus 2. The older women likewise, that they be reverent in behavior, not slanderers, not given to much wine, teachers of good things, that they admonish the young women to love their husbands, to love their children, to be discreet, chaste, homemakers, good, obedient to their own husbands, that the word of God may not be blasphemed. She is all of those things. And certainly in there with that, she loves her husband. She supports him and strengthens him. She makes him better. Turn back to Proverbs 31. Under this section of honoring her husband, let's put one more verse with it. Look at 23. Her husband is known in the gates when he sits among the elders of the land. In this, she contributes to her husband's success. That requires a humble spirit, doesn't it? If she's going to do the things to help him to be more and more successful, what might it require sometimes?
Sacrifice.
Sacrifices on her part. Yeah. You know, this is a woman who takes care of a great many of the domestic concerns, which enables her husband to be able to take care of some of the more and to be more effective in some of the more public matters. That requires selflessness on her part. She's willing to make that sacrifice so that he can be able to fulfill his role as she does hers. What happens with him as she does this? What is developed for him?
Good stature in the community.
Yeah, good reputation, good stature. Others see him and he is well respected. Does that reflect on her? Sure does. It reflects on their whole family. Their whole family name is affected because of that. And we mentioned last week that old saying, behind every great man is a great woman. So many ways it's true. And we also mentioned the world doesn't like to hear that. The world would say, you're just as good, if not better than him. You don't need to submit to him. But in saying something like that, the world makes it seem like it's a race or a competition. Is that what the roles of husband and wife are? Let me see who's the most important. Let me see who's the smartest. Let me see who's the most successful. That has never been God's intention for the home. They are two separate roles. And I know that this is the most unpolitically correct statement I guess I could make in the world today, but it is newsflash. Men and women are different. I know the world doesn't like to hear that. We are different. Which one's better? Neither. Neither one. Men have their role to play. Women have their role to play. And when they play them, when they do them correctly, what happens to the home?
Flourishes.
It does. It thrives. It flourishes. What happens for the children? You've got a strong foundation, a strong home for them to grow up in and see those. It's not a question of one being better than the other or competing. They're not competing. They're both going in the same direction. And Lord willing, that direction is where?
Heaven.
Toward heaven. Absolutely. Good. John, you hit something. I didn't mean to cut you off.
It's just like we might not always know what a leader's doing and there's stuff going on in the background.
Mm-hmm.
That's how the home should be too, though. There's communication between the husband and wife that's not for everyone else. There's things going on that you don't see at home that are getting taken care of, and it doesn't mean they're any less important.
Yeah, man. And that goes back to the point. The heart of her husband safely trusts in her. Does he micromanage every decision she makes? I don't get that from this. I get that he says, she knows what she's doing. She knows what she's doing. If we need to talk about something, we'll talk about something. This is the realm that she is master of and knows better than I do. I should have enough sense to let her do what?
What she
does best. Yeah, let the leaders lead. You know, put them in and build them up and equip them so they can be the best that they can. And then get out of the way and let them lead. Sir, Angela.
I think the best teacher for this is we're studying Jesus' life. And was he glorified on this earth? No, he was humble. But it's in his memory that, you know, he's glorified and look, you know, look where he is now. He was a servant on this earth.
Absolutely.
And he's our king. So as a wife and a mother and a woman, I try to look in that direction and try to ignore what the world says and look at Jesus and what he did, our example.
You're not going to find a better example. That's a great point. And you know, he has to teach that lesson. Were the apostles good men?
Yes.
They were good men. And they also were men that were trying to compete with each other at one point as to who's going to be the best. And it's at that moment that Jesus just sort of quietly goes and starts washing their feet. Here is the creator of mankind humbling himself to do the work of a servant, to teach a lesson. You need to be humble toward each other. You need to be willing to submit toward the good for each other. Great, great lesson. Norris, you had something.
Yeah, I was going to say that these plans are set up by God, and so that's why we have to realize that they're a perfect plan. Yeah. God is the one that, you know, authorizing saving money. We just have to do the best that we can to try to go by it. Like you said about the world, you know, it's all about the individual. And that's why we see so much of it. You know, divorces and things like that, because people feel they're not working things out.
Yeah. This is, the thing is, when these roles are fulfilled properly, both husband and wife, and children, by the way, will be happier. They will be fulfilled, because that's the plan. That's the way God always intended it. Good.
They become united, even with the kids. The whole family becomes happy.
Yeah. And they have a role to play as well. And we see that. We can point to that. We can go to Ephesians 6 and look at that. The kids certainly have a role to play in the home as well. It's a lot easier for them to be submissive to mother and father when they see husband who loves his wife as Christ loves the church. You see that from the father. It's a whole lot easier to fulfill your role as a kid. And when you see a wife who loves her husband and does what is good and right for him, it's a lot easier to submit to that. And it all works together. When you, as a husband, when you have a wife who you know loves you and is doing what is best for you, is it easier to love her as Christ loves the church? Well, sure it is. I mean, and so all of these work and they interact constantly. When one of those roles is not being fulfilled, what happens to the whole? Yeah, it's sick. It is sick, and it needs to be fixed. So each of those, there's a responsibility on each part and each party, but they all come together and make the family stronger. And with that in mind, look at verse 21. She honors her husband, certainly. She loves her family. Verse 21, she is not afraid of snow for her household, for all her household is clothed with scarlet. So what does she do for her family? Takes care of their needs. And physical needs are being addressed here. She makes sure that their physical needs are being met. Harsh winter comes against her. How does she feel?
Confident.
Yeah, she's not afraid. Why is she not afraid?
Because she's tending to her house.
She's taking care of it. She's prepared for it. She didn't, you know, she's not just sitting there on the front porch and then all of a sudden it gets cold and she's like, uh-oh, I don't know what we're going to do now. She's been preparing for these things. She knows and she's diligent. We'll see more about that as well. Actually, the next verse, look at verse 15. She arises while it is yet night and provides food for her household and a portion for her maidservant. She's diligent. This example here, waking up early to go about her business. What does she provide for the family?
Spiritual. She does spiritual stuff for
the family. Yeah, we have certainly the physical things are being provided here. We're going to see more about the spiritual things. We're going to talk more about that aspect that she provides for the family as well. You know, she is the example of what diligence and godliness looks like. She does that. She's busy. Notice, not only are her family members taken care of, who else is taken care of in verse 15?
Nathan.
Yeah. These are those who are connected to her family. They may not necessarily be a child or a spouse, but those who come in contact with her family, what does she do for them? She takes care of them too. This is the kind of heart that she has, the kind of woman that she is. Now, let's talk about what Betty brought up. And let me say this. Fathers are given a role in raising their children. It's an important role. And I think a great deal of the discipline in teaching about spiritual things, fathers need to do. And I think sometimes we don't do a good job of it, quite frankly. We get busy doing our things. And some of us, I'm afraid, assume mama's going to take care of it. I have a role to play in that as well. And I better not shirk in those duties. That being said, who spends the most time with the children, especially when they're young, growing up? Of course they do. Of course they do. So who has the most influence on the children's spiritual development? Lois and Eunice were the ones who influenced Timothy, right? Grandmother, mother. There's that old saying, the hand that rocks the cradle rules the world. Heard that? Because nobody has the influence on a child like mama. Nobody does. And those first foundations of godliness and truth, Mama's teaching them day after day after day. Daddy has a part to play too, and I'm not taking that away. But they see it with Mama constantly because they're with Mama constantly. This is extremely important. Anything you guys want to bring up on any of those so far? Joe, go ahead.
I'm so afraid that the world has drifted so far away from God's plan. Now, as we are discussing the role of a woman here, I think Solomon makes it perfectly clear. Man has fulfilled his role. This is the role of a woman, and by no means are they such that if the man doesn't do this, then the woman picks up the slack or vice versa. The reason that children feel what they do about mother is because mother is in the home, and that's what mother is supposed to be. That was God's plan. When we look at the way... Look at God's plan after the transgression in the garden. He gave Eve a role and he gave Adam a role. And neither one could do what God assigned for the other. She was tasked with her role and so was him, so was he. So I think what we have done in the world, we've got to a point where material things have gotten in the way of us following God's plan. We feel that, and I'm just as guilty as the next man. My wife left home to help me earn a bigger paycheck. And what did we do with the children? We put them in daycare. That's what has happened to the world, and we have to be very, very careful not to mimic that. Some of us do it better than others. Some of us struggle with it. But I think that's why we have so many problems right now, right here in the church. I have no blame, no shame for what I have done in trying to raise my kids, but I did it. I did it, and I'm just as guilty as the next man when I deviated from God's plan. So anything that did not happen in raising my kids the way they should have been, that's my fault. That's my fault. I should take the blame. God is going to hold me accountable first.
Turn to 1 Timothy chapter 5. This is one of those things. And what Joe has mentioned is something that our society has pushed toward. And to be bluntly honest, there are fewer and fewer women raising their children, leading them up. Fewer and fewer women who are doing that. 1 Timothy 5, verse 14. Therefore I desire the younger widows, marry, bear children, manage the house, giving no opportunity for the adversary to speak reproachfully. So if this, and I'm thinking there the manage the house portion and everything that comes with that. If a mother is not doing that, what does it give an opportunity to happen?
Satan.
How does it say it there? For the adversary to speak reproachfully. And Roy's right, the adversary there is Satan. That's who's being spoken of. If this part isn't being fulfilled, he's going to have opportunities to come against the family and to drive a wedge and to cause problems. Who can raise my children better than my wife?
Nobody.
There's nobody. Doesn't matter what certification they have. Doesn't matter how many years they've been doing it. There is nobody. And I stand by this. And I realize that what I'm saying is offensive to some people. And I stand by it anyway. There is nobody in this world who can raise my girls like my wife. Nobody is better suited. Nobody knows them better. Nobody can do that better than that. And if we start allowing physical things and material things to make that not happen, what are we doing to our families? Are we making them stronger? Are we making them weak? And look, this is, and I appreciate Joe's candidness in that this is an issue in the church. It absolutely is. When this is not being met, it will cause problems. Look around at the last two generations where mothers have not spent as much time with their children. Do you think they are spiritually stronger or weaker than the generations that came before? I think there's only one honest answer. I mean, we can say whatever we want. We have more stuff. But what happened to the faith of those generations of children? It is what it is. Titus 2 as well, verse 5, we already read it, but just to look at it. To be discreet, chaste, homemakers. And that word homemaker is treated like it's a curse word now. But look at the word. What does it say? What does the word homemaker mean? One who makes a house into a home. Is that shameful? Should you ought to be ashamed, woman. You made this house into a home full of love and joy and peace and godliness. Come on, man. This is important. This is God's plan. Let's make sure that we see it. John.
I think that communication is real important too, because the kids are in school now and they're hearing things that they wouldn't hear at home, or yeah, other adults putting ideas in their head that might go against their religion or their upbringing. So it's important for mothers to have that connection so they can talk to them and say, what did you learn today? What did you hear today? So they can correct that too, because they're fighting against the world in that way too now.
Yeah, I mean, in many ways it's an uphill battle. You know, they see it on TV, they hear it from their friends, they hear it on the radio, the internet certainly doesn't help. So, yeah, absolutely, fighting against those influences. I think, Brian, did you have some? Oh, I'm sorry. Linda, okay.
We have to decide whether the stuff is worth the souls of our children.
Yeah.
And you spend half of your life accumulating it, and the last half getting rid of it.
Yeah. There's a quote, and it's from a book about this chapter. It's called A Worthy Woman. A woman named Darlene Craig wrote it. She said, within the mother's heart lies the spiritual starter dough for generations to come. Never heard it put that way, but that's... Where do kids first start hearing about God? Where do kids first start hearing about right from wrong and why you don't tell a lie and why you do those things? Where do they hear it? Where did you hear it? I heard it from my mom. And granted, my house was not filled with all the spiritual teaching it needed to be, but there was some there. And those things I did hear came from her. So these principles at the very beginning are being laid, and if that's not happening, our families are going to suffer. Okay, let's move through to the next one. I want to make a little more progress this morning. She is frugal. Look at back in Proverbs 31, verse 14. She's like the merchant ships. She brings her food from afar. She makes wise decisions. She's not a spendthrift. She is economical. She puts great effort into making sure that her family functions in an economical way. She makes honest purchases, and through those purchases, she helps her family resources. Now, in this sense, I'm afraid people have this wrong idea of a woman taking care of the house, that she just like never leaves the kitchen ever. Well, look at this woman. Does she leave the kitchen? What is she doing? She's doing whatever is needed. And not only do we have shopping for things, this is a woman making wise purchases. This is a woman who is thinking about endeavors that will increase her family and help her family. And she makes them. And if you go back to the earlier verse 11, her husband sanctions this. He says, I know, you know how to make these decisions. You are wise with this. Now, do you think they discuss big decisions between them? Well, sure they do. Of course they do. That's part of what's needed there. But this is a wise woman, a smart woman. She's savvy when it comes to business decisions here. Look at verse 18. Let's put that with it as well. She perceives that her merchandise is good and her lamp does not go out by night. She keeps her lamp burning. When does a wife and a mother's job end? Or when does a worthy woman's job end?
It doesn't.
It doesn't. She keeps her lamp burning by night, which means as soon as the sun goes down, doesn't mean her job's over. And certainly when you factor everything with being a mother into it, at 3 a.m. is when they start yelling for mom, when their fever goes up and everything else that goes along. And And those phone calls come in. So it is a never-ending job. She's industrious. She's prepared. Going along with something we looked at earlier, how she loves her family, she's also a good neighbor. Look at verse 20. She extends her hands to the poor. She reaches out her hands to the needy. How would you describe this woman? If you could think of one word to describe this aspect of this woman. She is compassionate. Absolutely. You could use benevolent as well. She's full of goodness. She looks for opportunities to do good for others. And we go back and let's build on what we've already seen. She's worked hard to provide and make sure that her family is well established and has plenty. But she doesn't hoard it for her family alone. She's willing to extend her hand to those who are in need. Mark your places and turn to 1 John 3. The woman in Proverbs 31 is doing exactly what John tells all Christians that we need to be doing. 1 John 3. If someone will read verse 17 for us.
But if anyone has world's goods and sees his brother in need, yet closes his heart against him, how does God's love abide in him?
What's the answer to that question?
It doesn't.
There's no way I can have all of these things and I see my brother in need and I can say, Lord, I love you and I love my brother, but I'm not helping him. There's no way I can do that. And this woman in Proverbs 31 doesn't do that either. She sees those who are legitimately in need and she extends her hand to them. She takes care of them. Imagine the encouragement this would be to a stranger. I mean, do you think this encouraged the poor? Do you think this encouraged her other neighbors who saw her doing these things? To make an application for us today. Do you know of any women who have behaved like this and because of it somebody's obeyed the gospel?
Yes. I do.
Because of their heart, their generosity, their kindness, their good example, others have started asking questions and eventually have obeyed the gospel. Of course they have. Because they saw what out of her that they may never have expected to come from her. Then, love, compassion, humility, meekness, all of these things they saw out of her. And you can read this to people all day long. And quite frankly, if they don't see it in your life, you're not going to do a whole lot of good. But when they see it actually taking hold and being a part of us, then it becomes real to them. And there are women who excel at being this kind of woman, looking for opportunities, being benevolent. And I don't necessarily mean just giving money to the poor. They give of themselves. And they're willing to speak and to do and to encourage. These are women who lead people to the Lord. Look also at verse 26. She opens her mouth with wisdom, and on her tongue is the law of kindness. It's interesting that wisdom and kindness are grouped together in this. When she speaks, what does it sound like? It is wisdom. It is grace. It's all the things we can read in Ephesians 4, verse 29 about how our speech should be. Colossians 4, verse 6, the way that our speech should be. This woman has it. And she has all those holy things. Where is gossip and slander in comparison to this woman? It has no business. And it's not anywhere. It's not on her radar. She realizes those things work against what she's trying to do. And I quite frankly, let me go out on a limb, I don't believe this woman would tolerate such things in her presence because she knows that they're counterproductive. She knows they're wicked. So she would stamp them out. Her great wisdom. Since she has great wisdom, who can come to her for wise counsel?
Younger women.
The younger women can.
Anyone.
Titus talks about that. The strangers can. What about her husband? Of course he can. This is the kind of woman we're talking about. I'm sorry, and I've said this. I said this last week, and I was just mentioning it again. It makes me mad. It makes me mad when the world reads these things and just badmouths them and talks. And when people say things like, well, the Bible just, God must not like women. He just must not care for women. You must not have read Proverbs 31 with any sense. What is this woman like?
She's kind and giving. And a lot of those slanderers aren't being kind. They're speaking out of anger, and that clouds things.
How about that? Yeah. This is a woman who loves the Lord and knows the Lord. And she can teach others about the Lord. I need these qualities. You do too. There is nothing dishonorable within a million miles of this passage. This is what pleases the Lord. These are good things. Matt, go ahead.
Yeah, I was just going to say, you did kind of say it, but I need these qualities. I think about this section, and you can almost for everything, just a few things that are really specific to the woman, but you can plug in he and talk about the husband for almost all these things that, you know, we as husbands should be too. I mean, we should be a good neighbor. We should be frugal, love our family.
Yeah.
The honor your wife. I mean, all these things you can flip it and talk about the husband and these things. But there's a few things that are probably more specific for the woman.
Sure.
In here, but there's so much of it for the man as well. And you know, it. I think. About if the world would function as God claimed it to, even 50% of it, maybe, of how much more peaceful we would be. It's amazing. You know, we think about what divorce rates at astronomical highs, and we're a victim of our own success. With the prosperity of this country, there's no, you know, we talk about this and study about this, no contentment. We drive for more, and by doing that, you know, that brings in the woman of driving for more. Keep, you know, we talk about wanting to have more stuff, and it's you know, I think Donna said it about the married couple being a team.
Yeah.
And when you take that on, you know, those places are equal in what they are meant to do. And you know, the woman raising their children and doing things. And, you know, reading this part about some of the business things, it doesn't say she just sits in the house all day.
Yeah.
You know, cleaning the floors, you know, or whatever. I mean, she's obviously doing some things that's, sounds like by this to help provide for the family. And so she, you know, and I think about this with Angela. You know, Angela has her little photography business that she started off doing because she loved to do it. But she provides with it. We use some of her profit for a certain reason. But she does. It doesn't take away from raising Libby.
Right.
And take away from being in the home. She does that outside of that. So, I don't know. This world would be such a much better place. And it all, the obviously our primary problem is that so many have gotten away from God. But I think this is like one of the second biggest problem is the drive of this country to go get more. And that brings the woman into having to go and be successful in business. And
it's a greater issue of both have forgotten their roles, and so neither get fulfilled. Based on one other thing that Matt said, we talk about her husband is known in the community. You think she is? Think anybody knows her?
Yeah.
Of course they do. She is out and about constantly. She's giving, she's helping the poor, she's providing for their servants, she considers a field and buys it. You think people know her? Yeah, I mean, this is not a shadow that clings to her husband's coattails. This is a woman whose character is known by everyone who knows her. It's absolutely important and powerful. Joe, you had something.
I think Joe's biggest problem is sometimes I take the scripture literally. One of the things I sense, one of the major struggles we as Christians or saints have is No matter how hard we try, we're still looking out of the corner of our eye at the world. We should never ever forget we are the called out.
Yeah.
That's what we are. We are going to be different. And when we take on that role, which is a very difficult role, we love those individuals out there that are living that world of life. You never give up on pulling them out. You never give up on it. That's your mission. That's the mission Jesus gave the 12 when he ascended. That is your mission. Don't resent them, because that is the world, and they are green in there. If there is a quest of them coming to God, they just don't know any better. And one day, through your effort, and what we're talking about here this morning is the effort of a godly woman. One day, hopefully through her effort, she will pull someone out of that world.
Yeah.
And I think that's the whole point. And this is going to be my last comment along these lines here. I think that one of the reasons Paul stressed to Timothy, one of the qualifications for an elder is a man who raised his family well. Now, that doesn't mean that he's feeding them, he's changing diapers. He has to provide that wife with the resources to do the thing that she is tasked with. And then later on in Titus, it talks about how the woman support the man in that endeavor. And we cannot forget that there is a role for the woman, there is a role for the man. And when we try and merge the two together, we're going to always run into problems.
Okay.
Amen.
Yes, sir. Oh, I'm sorry, Chris.
That's okay. We've talked about how it's important for moms to be with kids, but I don't want the misconception that that stops just when they're little. That, I mean, I was blessed to be able to stay home with my kids, and I did substitute as they got into high school and so forth, and was in the high school with them, but it was surprised me, and that's why I'm sharing it, is because it surprised me that they still needed you and still even wanted you, because there were days that if I substituted one school, I left before the other kid went to school, and he never really liked that I was not there when he left for school. So they still need you, because there's a lot of trouble that they get into after school if moms aren't, attentive or dads, whatever, paying attention. And just, it's not just when they're little. They really surprisingly need you and your attention for a long time.
Let's go back to verse 1 of this chapter. The words of King Lemuel, the utterance of which who taught him? How old do you think King Lemuel was? He's old enough to be warned about fornication, so I don't think he's 6, right? He's old enough to be warned against intoxicating drink. So again, I don't think you're talking to a 10-year-old here. This is a man. A man who is in a position of ruling, and whose words is he listening to? It's a grown man who's a king. And mama's words still have powerful impact and influence on him. Great point, Kristen. Good. Yeah, Brian, go ahead.
Just to reinforce what Matt said and also Kristen said, the worldview, I just went through my sensitivity training, again, an annual sensitivity training and family philosophy that they have in the company. And it's Berkshire Hathaway is a big, really big company. And on the family section, it never mentioned husband and wife. It's partner. And you and your partner decides to have a family. The number one most important decision you'll ever make, what kind of daycare are you going to have? That's the number one thing. I mean, if you had preached all that daycare in the 50s and 60s, and a lot of people say, oh, that's the old time. And a lot of us remember the 50s and 60s. Everybody said, what are you talking about? And now it's the standard. And it says, in our sensitivity training, it says, you're equal partners. No one is above anyone else, and you have to split all your chores in the home, and all, and they suggest getting separate bank accounts, and it's just, it's a corporation, and it's just insane. Against God's word. And what Matt said, if think about the world, if we just observe the Ten Commandments, what the difference would be. Just those ten.
Absolutely. Okay. We are out of time. Let me look at two more things real quick, and then go to verse 25. The godly woman clothes herself properly. What does she clothe herself in? Look at verse 25. Strength and honor are her clothing. She shall rejoice in time to come. If you look down as well, verse 17, or up, verse 17. She girds herself with strength and strengthens her arms. This is, everything about her is honorable. When you look at her, you see strength and you see dignity. This is a woman who just emanates that. Now, she faces troubles like everybody else, but she faces them with God's help. And she is strengthened because of Him. He hears her when she cries out to Him in prayer. Why?
She's honorable.
Because she's righteous. She's honorable toward Him. She's one of His. And so He hears when she calls to Him, and He is there to help her. She does what's right because God said it's right. God's well pleased in her. When you look at verse 17, she's not lazy. And I do go down to verse 22. She makes tapestry for herself. Her clothing is fine linen and purple. You know, she does take care of herself as well. She presents herself well. But this is not a woman who is breaking the bank to make sure she looks good at the expense of her family. This is a woman who, she puts God first in everything that she does. We can look at some of the other points. I do want us to get through this. So she's also industrious. I think we've seen that in the other aspect. I want to talk about this, and I know we're going over, and that's okay. What is her reward for being all of these things? What is her reward?
Heaven.
It absolutely is. Go back to verse 10. Who can find a virtuous woman? For her worth is far above rubies. She is an absolute treasure to everyone who knows her. She will be praised. She will be praised. Verse 31. Give her the fruit of her hands and let her own works praise her in the gates. Her works will praise her. The very things that she's done. Her legacy, if you will, that'll praise her. Look back up in verse 28. Her children rise up and call her blessed. Her husband also. And he praises her. So the things she does brings praise from the community. Her family, her children, and her husband, they praise her. But that's not the most important. Who praises her most of all and most importantly?
God.
God does. I hope we see that. God praises her because He looks at her and says, this is a daughter of mine. She is what I want her to be. That is the most important thing. The most important reward out of all this. And of course, she is above the rest. You see her husband telling her that in verse 29. Her secret, we started with it, let's finish with it. Charm is deceitful and beauty is passing, but a woman who fears the Lord, she shall be praised. And that's the one I believe is referring to His praise. She will be praised by Him because she fears and honors the Lord. Okay, let's stop there. There are a few other things that we could have looked at, but we'll stop with this. I appreciate the comments. And I will end with this last point. Women, ladies, how often do you read this section of Proverbs and ask the question, is this me? Is this me? Am I doing these things to the best of my ability? I certainly think it would be beneficial. All right, we'll stop with that. And next week, Lord willing, we'll begin studying the New Testament church.